My family tells a lot of stories. And sometimes they go back a very, very long time. My family arrived in what is now the United States of America in the 1640s. They left the Dutch Republic, came to settle in New Amsterdam, and there they started a new life. But after some time, their feet got itchy, and they sold their land to the Von Roosevelts and moved out west. And they continued to move out west, and every generation seemed to get itchy feet and continued to move out west, and now you will find most of the Van Valkenburgs stacked up against the west coast because they ran out of land to move west on. And the land that they sold back to the Von Roosevelts, the Empire State Building stands on that land now. Now I have to confess, I'm not actually a Van Valkenburg, as the family name. My grandmother was a Van Valkenburg. And yet this story that has been handed down through generations continued to be told by my grandmother, to my mother, and to me, because it is a family story. And whether or not we can actually track down the exact corners of that bit of land or all the places that the Van Valkenburgs lived as they moved west over and over generation after generation, and now are actually beginning to backfill because, again, they've run out of land, that isn't the point, because it's a family story. And it tells us who we are and where we come from. We tell a lot of family stories. And sometimes these stories serve different purposes. Some stories remember happy times and are meant to entertain the audience. You should ask John Hayward about the time he and his siblings smuggled a kitten into family devotions and see how long he can keep a straight face while telling it. It can also keep the memory of a loved one alive. My grandmother died when I was 2. And I have no actual memories of my own of my grandmother. And yet my mom told so many stories about her life and her joys and her difficulties and her smile and her cooking that I feel like I really do know my grandmother because she passed on those stories. Sometimes these stories tell about how a relationship gets started. And occasionally those stories need a little bit of extra explanation because technology changes. My parents met in a drop ad line in college because one of them needed to drop a class and one of them needed to add a class. And apparently back then you don't have computers to do that, so you have to go stand in line in a hallway, which gives you plenty of time to meet the cute guy next to you. We tell these stories to tell us who we are and where we come from. And I think today's story is a really good example of that. In fact, as I was looking through the text, I was like, oh my goodness, why did I agree to preach today? We're talking about Passover? That seems really big and serious. I realized as I was looking at it that yes, it is big, and yes, it is serious, and no, it is not actually the narrative section that talks about the Passover. Every word that we just heard read out loud to us today is discourse. Someone is talking about the Passover, talking about what is going to happen, and then talking about how it is going to be remembered. So today, instead of having something that moves our narrative forward, we actually have several someones talking about something that happened or something that will happen. And these are, I think that's a really, really interesting fact, that that's the sections that we were given to listen to today, was not the story itself, but the telling of the story. And if you look at it, you'll see at the beginning of the first section that Joe read in chapter 12, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron. And then again in chapter 13, the Lord said to Moses, and Moses said to the people. They're all discourse. It's all someone telling this story, which means it is really meant to be retold. And you can see that even in this section further. Again, just looking at chapter 13, at the beginning, the Lord said to Moses, and then Moses said to the people, and at the very end there we say, and you shall tell your child. This is a story that is meant to be retold and retold through the generations because it says who we are and where we come from. Now, I got a little bit nerdy about this, and I had to check. And so I plugged into some Bible software, and I took the Hebrew word for the Lord, and Egypt, and the verb to go out, I said, how many times does this show up in the same verse? Well, it turns out through the entire Old Testament, those three terms show up together in the same verse 70 times from Exodus all the way through Chronicles. And I think that shows us something really cool about the place of the Passover story in this larger narrative. This is the story where something changes to a point that everything else after it is affected by it. This is the story that shows that everything is going to be new, and you're going to have to remember this. Now, to be honest, one of those times actually was just the Lord saying that he was going to go out over Egypt, which we heard today, so maybe it's 69 times. And about half a dozen of them actually happened during today's reading, but still, that's over 60 times throughout Exodus, throughout Numbers and Deuteronomy, looking on through the histories. We even see it sometimes in the Psalms as well. And so this is one of those stories that really just sticks. And I noticed also, with competing stories, that if you look again, this is a story that's not just meant to be told, and it changes everything, but when is this story meant to be told? The Passover story, even if we look in chapter 13, verse 5, it says that when the Lord brings you to this land flowing with milk and honey, even then you will tell this story. So even when things are good and the memory of needing deliverance begins to fade, remember that you were once slaves and that I, the Lord, brought you out of Egypt. By repeating this story, it means that it never fully fades, that we always keep remembering it. And of course, Passover is still celebrated by Jewish communities today around the world. And the celebration is a combination of ritual and remembrance, and so the need for deliverance and the remembrance of that need for deliverance never fully fades. And it has become more than a family story, but it is told every single year. So I had to wonder if we here have one of those stories that we say over and over again to remind us who we are and where we come from, one of those stories that changes everything that came after. And I landed on communion, which itself was a Passover meal, if you look at the Last Supper. And so there we have the celebration of the Passover, and Jesus does something new. And this story that we tell leads into that spot of the Last Supper. It really leads into the Passion and the Resurrection. And that is that point where, for us, everything becomes new. And this is the story that we tell over and over and over. And we're going to do it again, I believe, next week is the beginning of the month, and so we will be celebrating communion. And is a story that defines everything that comes after. Nothing is the same after that Last Supper. And so we remember it. And it's a combination of ritual and remembrance, and we all participate. And it's that moment when nothing is quite the same again. And you even see that in the text that sometimes our pastors use when introducing communion. That section from 1 Corinthians 11, "For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" We'll have to see if that's the one that the pastors have chosen for next week. But we hear there the voice of Paul, who got this and is passing it on. And then through the generations, we continue to say these words where we pass this on. It's a family story, and it tells us who we are. It tells us that we are followers of Christ. And if you look at the Last Supper, it tells us that we are servants. And it tells us that suffering is sometimes part of the deal. And it tells us that suffering is not the end of the story, and there is always hope afterwards. And it tells us that we have a new beginning and we are saved. And it changes everything that comes after. And it reminds us that we needed deliverance and we still need deliverance. And so we tell this story. Well, having thought, I said, okay, so here we are as Christians. Is there anything as Mennonites that we have that does the same thing. And I ended up landing on the Reformation, which makes sense because that's where we come from. The Reformation for us as Mennonites defined everything that came after. The words of Menno Simons and others resonate in our hymnals and some of the songs that we still sing today for prayer, that we still sing today for reflection, that we lift our voices in community, and so it becomes a family story and we remember these words. Like many Mennonite families, we have a copy of The Martyr's Mirror in our living room. It doesn't get opened very often. It's a very thick book with some pretty difficult stories. But there is one story that we still continue to tell, even here, even today in this life, in the way that our world works today, that still resonates. Actually, a lot of them resonate, but the one that we tell most often to our children is the story of Dirk Willems. We had that even here in the children's story just within the last few months, of the man who, escaping from prison, is being chased, hears his, runs across the thin ice of the river, hears his guard who is chasing him fall through the river, turns around, pulls him out, and is promptly rearrested. And we tell this story not because it's a fun, entertaining story, but because it shows us what imitating Christ means, and that it means loving our enemies. And it means sometimes loving the person who doesn't love us back in a way that isn't always ending up well. But it also is a story of hope, because it is a story how the love of Christ is stronger than the forces that chase it and that seek to snuff it out. And I think it's interesting that that's one of those stories that we continue to tell. And the history of the Mennonites is just one full of patterns of persecution and migration, one exodus after another, if you will. Whether you're from German and Swiss communities moving to Pennsylvania and then spreading outward, whether you're part of the Russian Mennonites escaping the Soviet Union and then settling in the US and Canada, whether you've joined the Mennonites further along and these are not where we come from at all, we sometimes marry into stories. We move into families. And those stories become adopted. And they get told over and over. And some of those stories are actual family stories for members in our own community here. And it's worth looking at those stories, I think, sometimes. And saying, we tell these stories over and over. We tell these stories that define who we are. And sometimes these stories are just there to entertain. And sometimes these stories are there to fill the time. You can make a really long story stretch a very long time if you are stuck in traffic. But we tell these stories because they shape us. And so the question then becomes, how are we telling these stories? And how are we allowing these stories to shape us? When we listened to the Passover section today, you will notice that we heard a long list of peoples who had previously been in the Promised Land who were living there. The Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. We don't tell their story when we recount salvation history. The Mennonite and Amish communities that came here and settled throughout the United States often settled on land that had been recently cleared by the government of the nations who had lived there for generations. We often don't tell their stories. And when my own family's story of the Van Valkenburghs coming in the 1640s and continually moving west until they ran out of continent, that land probably belonged to someone else too, in each of those generations up to a certain point. And you look at that and say, well, do I stop telling my family story? Do I only tell the stories that include everybody? I would suggest that we should not toss out our stories. I am not a fan of making big black lines through our Bible, or of refusing to read the difficult passages, or of only using translations that sound good to our ears. And I don't think I'm going to stop telling the story of the Van Valkenburgs who came in the 1640s. And I don't think we should stop telling the story of Passover either. So then what do we do? What do we do with these family stories that as we stop and look at them again, we wonder, am I telling this story correctly? Is there another way that I can share my family history and my family story? And I'm sorry to say I don't really have a good formula for you. I wish I did. I think this is one of those things that as we tell stories, as we pass them down, we remember what happened in the past. These stories tell us who we are and where we come from. They don't always tell us where we're going. They don't always tell us what the next generation is going to be struggling with. And they don't always tell us where God is going to lead us next. So I would suggest that we continue to tell our stories. But as we do, we sit with them. We listen. If it's a family story, maybe we ask more pointed questions. Maybe we start adopting other stories to tell along with these stories. Maybe we say, okay, well, my family moved here and we settled on land that had previously been lived on by this other set of people. Maybe we remember the time that dinner burned and smoke filled the house. And we also remember the time that someone picked us up when we were sobbing on the floor because dinner burned and smoke filled the house and we were afraid we had just destroyed everything. And so I would suggest that when we tell these stories, when we remember who we are and where we came from, that we take time to be mindful about telling these stories, to think about what it is that we are passing down to the next generation, so that what gets passed down is, in fact, the good news of who we are, where we came from, of God's love for us, God's continued work in coming generations. But please don't use big black markers through your Bible and block out the things we don't want to read.